start with a little MLS headline. The MLS Players Association approved the proposal from MLS related to economics in 2020, as well as a modified collective bargaining agreement the union announced on Wednesday. So the approval of the proposal avoids a lockout that had been threatened by MLS and enables the league to soften the economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Remember, they've been shut down since March 12th. So the ratification of the new collective bargaining agreement should help them and will run through the 2025 season. We'll see what that means moving forward. A little bit of sad news for college football fans everywhere. Legendary Pittsburgh and Tennessee coach John Majors, also a star on the field, died at 85 years old. He coached Pittsburgh to a football national championship in 76, starred as a player at Tennessee in the 50s, later returned to his alma mater as coach to lead the Volunteers back to national prominence. Died Wednesday morning. He was 85 years old. And lastly, on the headlines that you need to know, get you a little bit of an NBA update. That's right. It's a morning where we've got some breaking news coming from Woj, and it comes in the form of what looks like a plan for the NBA. We've been waiting to see what it's going to look like. Now we have some information. The NBA Board of Governors intends to approve a league proposal on a 22-team format to restart the season in Orlando, Florida. Sources have told ESPN. Woj dropped the bomb this morning at about 11 o'clock. The conference call and vote is set for 12:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So we'll see what that means. Commissioner Adam Silver and the league's advisory finance committee have shared the broad details of the plan with teams to play at the Walt Disney World Resort. Sources say the plan includes 13 Western Conference teams, 9 Eastern Conference teams, 8 regular season games, a possible play-in tournament for the eighth seed and playoffs, according to sources. So those are the headlines you need to know. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80. We're going to have a little fun. Today's going to be a mixed show. All right, I have two objectives over the course of today. Obviously, yesterday we had some really deep, serious, and heavy conversations, some raw, honest conversations. That was something I love doing. We're going to continue some of that today because it still needs to be on our minds. There's still more to learn and there's still more to talk about. On the other hand, as I just told you on the breaking news, we have an announcement from the NBA that gives us something NBA related we need to break into or dive into also. So we're going to do a bit of both. We're going to have some heavy moments. We're going to have some light moments. We're going to entertain along the way, but we're also going to make you think. We're going to do all of that over the next couple of hours. The way you get involved on the fun part of it, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The conversation now is with nobody in the stands. What kind of home court advantage can there be? So what would you do to give higher seeds in the NBA a home court advantage in an empty arena? How would you give them some sort of advantage? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll start with some Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk by Straight Talk Wireless. They don't play games. Get the unlimited plan. 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Now, when you talk about the return of the NBA season, when you talk about a Woj bomb, you know immediately that there will be reaction to the proposal that I just mentioned, and that reaction came today on First Take in the form of Stephen A., Jalen Rose, and Max. This is what they said.
Well, first of all, obviously people were watching me early and they heard my position, so this is pretty close to it. I would have had 21 teams instead of 22 because I'm assuming that ninth team from the Eastern Conference will probably be the Washington Wizards, who are 5.5 games out. John Wall ain't going to be available till next season anyway. That's my position, Jalen. But they were watching, and a high-ranking, very reliable source texted me this message about it. They said, because obviously, remember, I was proposing you start earlier, and I wish it had ended earlier, like in September, whatever. They said the problem with ending sooner, meaning ending in September instead of October, is that it would require multiple back-to-backs during the playoffs, which no one would want. We can't start in early July, obviously, because, you know, Walt Disney will probably need to bring back all of its employees and stuff like that. Plus, obviously, the players need time to play in condition. They're trying to balance all of that. That's what this comes down to. So it's a perfectly logical explanation as to why the time frame is what it is. The players need some time to get ready for July 31st. Obviously, the competition is going to be what it is. And in order to finish it sooner, you'd have to have back-to-backs during the playoffs. And no one wants that because we don't want that excuse. So it all makes sense as to why this is. Under those circumstances, we understand why it's going to go into October. We accept it. And the bottom line is this. In the end, I don't really have a problem with it. My opposition was to all 30 teams. I thought it should have been 21. The fact that it's 22 doesn't really bother me. It damn sure should not have been all 30. And apparently it won't be. I'm totally good with that, Jalen.
I wonder what this means for local TV revenue, the threshold being 70 for that to fully vest, I guess is the word. And these eight games make sure that that happens. I believe the fewest games the team would play was 71 regular season games. But since it's only 21 of the 30 teams, how does that work, right? I got to say, as usual, I'm just very impressed. And it's how often Adam Silver gets this right. Maybe not the first time, like the situation with China. I felt like he's hedging his bets a little bit here. But ultimately, how often he acts with wisdom and empathy for the players and the business interests of the owners, and somehow all makes it work. He has been exemplary now through many crises since he's taken over as commissioner, following a legendary commissioner. And he is the model right now in professional sports in this country. Adam Silver, I think, by and large, got it right again.
He definitely got it right, Max. And what I was sitting here doing, guys, because all situations aren't created equal, I was writing off the top of my head the eight teams that did not get invited. And each of those situations are different. So if you're the Atlanta Hawks, you have a young star in Trae Young, you would have loved the opportunity to give him to just continue to gain experience because he's never played in the playoffs. If you're the Cavs, you can't wait till the season ends. If you're the Charlotte Hornets, we would love to see Michael Jordan sitting on the bench, but he ain't going to be in uniform, so I understand it. If you're the Golden State Warriors, you can't wait for this season to be over. Minnesota, I want to send a shout-out to Carl Anthony Towns, who lost his mother due to coronavirus. I know he's dealing with a heavy heart right now. Their season is over. We talked about the New York Knickerbockers. I'm pretty sure you guys are both from New York. You don't want to see them play basketball again this year. And the Chicago Bulls.
No.
So, to your point, Max, Adam Silver got it right, not only by getting enough time for the players to get back in shape, ease business relations back in, coaches back in, front offices back in, that type of thing. But he also got it right from the fact that you can't just bring 16 teams and feel like they're going to be focused on the playoffs. You have to create a level of intrigue. And now with the 22 squads, we don't know what's going to happen. Is this going to be a one through, is the play-in situation now going to create a 1 through 16 open seeding? Because if that now does, that's going to be a game changer. And I hear what you're saying about the clock, Stephen A., and not wanting to compete against the NFL. You're right about when September happens, we're so focused on the NFL. But remember, that's only 3 days a week. And especially early in the season, I think people will be just excited to see LeBron against Giannis or Kawhi as they will be to see Brady against Drew Brees.
Max, chime in real quick so I can go. Go ahead. Go ahead, Max, real quick. Go ahead.
All I'll say is, I got to be honest, they just made the rest of the season more exciting. More exciting than it would have otherwise been with the possibility of the play-ins and everything. And there's such pent-up demand. This is going to be incredible if they can pull this off.
First, take your take on ESPN News. And look, I buy some of that. Yes, there's pent-up demand. This is going to be incredible. Let's be real. They were going to get Zion Williamson in this playoff one way or the other, and that's essentially what they're accomplishing because the top 16 in the East and Western conferences will be joined by teams currently within six games of eighth place in the two conferences. So that includes New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Washington. So they're getting their way into the playoff, which we knew was going to happen one way or the other. The biggest part about this is going to be safety. And according to the document or the article on ESPN.com, life in the NBA bubble will be governed by a set of safety protocols. Players and coaches will be allowed to golf or eat at outdoor restaurants. They also have to maintain social distancing. Employees at the Disney Resort will have to maintain similar protocols. For example, no staff will be allowed into players' rooms and hallways will be carefully managed to avoid crowding. So all of this looks good on paper. It looks exciting on paper, and it gives us some opportunity to get the NBA. But it is fair to say through all of this, what does it mean for a crowded sports schedule? As they pointed out on Get Up This Morning, you're going to end up right now with possibly Game 7 7 of the NBA Finals being on a Monday night where we have the Chargers taking on the Saints on Monday Night Football. So the sports calendar is about to get incredibly crowded. It's important to get ahead of it. It's important to build momentum. And I think the NBA has given us a proposal that it can at least do that. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, presented by Penzo Synthetic Motor Oils, which are made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Penzo, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Speaking of that, we're going to go to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined now by former Knicks and Grizzlies head coach David Fizdale. Coach, I appreciate your time. I want to get into some serious stuff with you, but first, we were just talking about the return of the NBA. When you saw the proposal, what was your immediate reaction?
I'm going to be really honest with you. I have not seen the proposal in total. I have been so ingrained in what's been going on, obviously with what's happening on the national stage. You're actually giving me the education right now.
Well, you know what? I'm totally good. Then we will. I didn't want to talk to you about that unless we had to anyway, Coach. So let's go to the other stuff, because I want to have, and this is what we've been trying to do on the show for the last couple of days, is have real conversations. You know, where I brought some of my friends here that work at ESPN, and I'm aware of who I am and where I am. I'm a 43-year-old today. Today's my birthday. 43-year-old white dude.
Happy birthday.
Sitting around. Oh, thank you. But as a 43-year-old white guy, I have struggled to figure out where my voice was needed and what needed to come from me. And I'm trying to get those answers and have deep conversations with people. I'm interested, and I was really interested to talk to you, because you, as a former coach, how much different responsibility do you feel to speak not just for you but also for your players?
I feel a huge responsibility. I've lived a pretty full life from the standpoint of experiences and being on both sides of many issues, and a lot of these young guys have not. And they're looking for guidance, and they're looking for leadership. And I think as coaches, that's a huge part of our responsibility is, you know, when you look at the title coach, that entails leadership and teaching and education. And you know, so I think it is a huge responsibility. And I think that's why all of the coaches really felt an obligation to join in and get involved.
I mean, let's be real, though. Like, why is it that we see that more from NBA coaches? Why are coaches in other sports not as free to speak out?
Well, you know, I wrote this essay the other day in The Undefeated, and you know, I know for a lot of African-American coaches and executives, there is this underlying fear that that their careers will be jeopardized in one way or another. Whether if they're an assistant coach, will they ever be allowed to become a head coach because they don't want to be labeled as a disruptor or somebody that flies off the cuff, you know, because that's, you know, we've seen this in our past with other athletes. And if you're a head coach or somebody that's already in those positions, you worry about future opportunities and will that be held against you, you know, in the back rooms of the corporate world. And so, it's a real thing, you know, because we've seen it happen to Colin Kaepernick. We've seen it happen to, Abdul Rauf, and we've also seen it happen to the great Muhammad Ali. And so that's a real fear, and I think it's important that we take this time to recognize the importance of allowing people to, you know, peacefully protest from whatever seat they're in, regardless of what their issue is, if it's, gay rights or women's rights or, you know, racial injustices, whatever it may be. People have feelings and they have a responsibility to the community that they come from to speak on their behalf, because if we don't do it, who will? You know, and, you know, unfortunately, we come to these jobs with this baggage of what has been inflicted upon our people. And so I know a lot of people are hesitant just to speak out. And rightfully so, but I just hope that this moment is showing us that if people are allowed to do it with dignity and protest peacefully, it can really have affect massive change. And we don't get to the point of what we've seen over a few of these nights where protests have turned into violence or destruction of property or, you know, more police brutality.
We're talking to former Knicks and Grizzlies head coach David Fizdale. And first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Stick there, coach, for a minute, because obviously whenever there's rioting, whenever there's looting, it changes the tone of the conversation. It sort of allows a whole group of people to come in and make it about that. So when people come in and sort of use that to take over the conversation, how should I counter that? What do I do to get the narrative back where it belongs?
I think keep it factual. You know, everybody there isn't there for George Floyd and what happened to George Floyd. Let's just be real about it. You know, there are groups of people that have, you know, their own agendas. And, you know, whether you're talking about political, you know, far right or far left groups who want to see destruction and division, whether it's people who just want to take advantage of the opportunity to loot, I would not include them in the discussion. I wouldn't include them in the conversation. Unfortunately, those things, you know, seep into protests. I think as we move forward into our future and we start to get a little more aware and understanding how these groups infiltrate good peaceful protesters, we start to combat it in better ways. You know, we're starting to see more you know, cops walking around in plain clothes within the protests. You see more peaceful protesters holding people accountable for looting. You know, people are getting on these chat boards and starting to see how these you know, people are affecting their protests and how they're meeting up and how they're getting organized and they're beating them to the punch. And I just think that those are ways that we have to you know, get ahead of these folks. And I, and at the end of the day, just keep bringing people back to the fact that a man was pinned down with an officer's knee in his neck, with officer's knees on his back and lungs for 9 minutes while he begged for his life, while he begged to breathe, while he begged for his mother. And he laid there for 3 more plus minutes, non-responsive, and most likely dead in that moment. And I think it's just very important that you keep reeling people back into why are we here.
We're talking to former Knicks and Grizzlies head coach David Fizdale. Powerful words, coach. And, you know, I guess I'll leave you. I got to ask you one more. And to me, you know, yesterday I was talking to people from a fan's hat that I've worn so much in my life that I've looked at the organizations I'm a fan of, and I've wanted to see what they have to say, because we're going to have to start drawing some lines in the sand between who we're willing to support based on the lines that, of how they communicate. So, you know, you worked for the Knicks, and the Knicks were a big conversation for their statement. Even as an NBA employee, does how organizations respond to this affect the way that you view the organization and look at the want to play or work for them if you're an NBA player or coach?
You know, for me, you know, I can't really get into the weeds with that situation, but I can say that I do think that we all have an extraordinary duty from whatever seats that we sit in, regardless of what our expertise is to, you know, be able to point out when injustices are done. I just really believe that it's all of our responsibilities. You know, racism is a living, breathing thing that is not going away. And so to combat it really, really falls on the shoulders of everyone who is not racist to make sure that we are tending to our garden and tending to our people and making sure that we're keeping humanity first and that everything that we do puts the people first and puts humanity in the limelight, and it shines the real spotlight on the people that are trying to tear that down. And so whatever it is, whether it's organizations, whether it's people in high positions, you know, different people from the corporate world, we all have a huge responsibility, white, black, you know, whatever color you are, whatever gender you are, to really stand for justice and to stand for justice for all. And until we really get that understanding that that's something that we just can't hope that someone else is doing, this battle is going to be harder than it needs to be.
Coach, we'll get you on another time to talk about the playoffs and whatever that looks like. Today, most importantly, you've made me a better person, and I appreciate your time. I appreciate your insight. I appreciate your honesty and letting us have this hard conversation. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
I just say this to you and to all, you know, people who are wondering how they can help, is just keep using your platform to bring attention to these issues, even far after this moment is gone, because that's what ends up happening. We forget about it and we move on, and then we're not outraged until it happens again. So just, you know, lead from your seat the best way you can. And I think that'll be impactful enough to help move the movement.
That's beautifully said, Coach. Thanks for the time. And what he just said there, lead from your seat however you can, is just, it's a reminder of exactly what's there, and exactly what's there for all of us is an opportunity to do better, an opportunity to do more, an opportunity to be better. And that's something that I think, again, I'm going to continue to charge all of us to do in life in general, from everybody, not just demand more from the fan, from the organizations you support, but demand more from the people in your everyday life. We're going to continue ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And Progressive, they're making things even easier. They help you build your bundle, your home and car insurance together, so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We're going to keep the discussion, not just on current events, but also on the breaking news of the NBA. And we're going to do it with one of my closest friends at the network. We'll do it. It should be a little bit of fun. We'll have some serious talk, but also a little bit of fun. That's all coming up.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, your smart speakers, because we're fancy pants, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're asking you to get in on the conversation in the lighthearted way today, should you choose. What would you do to give higher seeds in the NBA a home court advantage? Now, all this comes based on the Woj bomb that we had this morning. And the Woj bomb, looking across the board, is a simple one. It looks like we have a proposal at this point for the return of the NBA. The Board of Governors is going to approve a league proposal on a 22-team format to restart the season. There's a conference call set for tomorrow afternoon. At that point, they'll take a vote on it. The plan includes 13 Western Conference teams, 9 Eastern Conference teams, 8 regular season games, possible play-in tournaments, all sorts. So the top 16 teams in the East and West will be joined by teams currently within 6 games of 8th place in the two conferences. So there's a lot of details here that looks like they're going to do a little bit of a round robin. We knew they were going to find some way somehow to get Zion in the playoffs, and that's exactly what they're doing. So there is at least a plan for return. Now, it does beg a question of what's going to happen for home court advantage, because remember, these games are going to be played isolated at Disney World. So as they go in and play isolated in Disney World, you have to start to wonder what all of that means for home court advantage, which is why we're asking you guys, what would you do to give higher seeds in the NBA a home court advantage? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll have a little fun with this before we get to deeper things. Joined now by my buddy. You guys see us work together all the time. He's on Golic and Wingo every single day. Mike Golic Jr. joins us now. Gojo, you guys asked this question on Golic and Wingo this morning. What was your favorite thought on a home court advantage for a team, given that there's nobody in the stands?
So my favorite ones that were complete and utter nonsense tended to skew like the lower seeded team had to sleep in beds that were too short or play in shoes that were half a size too big or too small. To really try and simulate something there, the team had to order pizza from Utah the night before the game. Like all pretty standard stuff.
Oh, that's amazing. Only because I'm imagining me sleeping in like an extra long bed and you having to be in a tiny, tiny bed. It feels like that would give me some competitive, you'd still win, but it would give me a competitive advantage, at least for a day. So I wanted you to come on, not just to talk about fun things in the NBA, but because I think it's important that you and I have some of the same serious conversations I've been having on the show over the last 24 hours. And, you know, I've been able to do that with so many of our peers that we know, respect and love, and think so highly of, that are black. You and I are both white. And I think it's important for you and I to have some conversations too, because there's perspective to it. Like, I'm the first to admit that I've spent a lot of my career in front of a microphone saying, you know, I don't really have value in that way. Like, my voice isn't needed for social change. So that's been eye-opening for me to see how wrong I was about that over the course of the last week, and a real transformation point for me. When I've looked at it, I've always thought, man, why does somebody, you know, that's struggling with all these things care about what I have to say? I think you've done a better job of being socially active with your voice and with what you think and feel. Why is it, do you think it's been easier for you than it has maybe for some people to approach it that way?
I don't know if it's been, you know, easier. I think everyone does as good a job as they can given the circumstances and comes to it at their own speed. Like, I've talked about this a lot, you know, off air with Dan Orlovsky and some other guys that played. Like, I came from an area growing up in Avon, Connecticut that's super homogenous, right? Like, everybody looked like me. Everyone came from pretty much the same background. There wasn't a lot of diversity in that group, but through getting to play sports, through playing football at high school and the college level and a little bit beyond, I was exposed to so many perspectives and met so many people. And this was always what I stressed to people. I came across so many guys that became some of my best friends, some of my teammates, people that I'm still super close with today, and guys that didn't look like me come from the same background. And I loved them and I appreciated so many great things about them. And so when it came to issues like being treated differently by the police or being discriminated in life, I always thought to myself, all right, if I love and believe what these guys are telling me in so many other ways, and they're such smart, capable people, why would they choose this spot to lie to me or to embellish, or why would they bring it up unless there was a reason? And so I think for that reason, it just, thankfully, because of sports, always set in pretty early. And because I had come from a place where everyone looked so similar, kind of jolted me out of my seat and said, all right, you know what? Not everybody comes to this thing the same way. Not everybody had the things that I had growing up that made life a little bit easier. And so because of that, just being cognizant of it and not being afraid to talk about it, because that's what we talked about in the locker room. Like, you had a lot of these discussions. I was fortunate that some of my teammates would talk to me about these things. And so that discussion platform kind of just became second nature. And so I figure, why not do it here too?
You know, and that's interesting, Mike, when you talk about it, because you and I both came from very different backgrounds, as everyone knows that's ever heard us work together. But we both came from, as a word I've stolen from you, meritocracy backgrounds, where in the music business, if you can play, you can play. You're going to get a gig. In football, if you can play, in theory, you can play. So, you know, the at least the concept behind the two of them, I'm left wondering if maybe part of it, you joke often that I'm, you know, a sneaky vampire, but maybe I'm just old enough, older than you enough that it's harder. I wonder if my generation struggles more to have those conversations than yours does, because it has always felt like awkward. Like, I grew up in this world where it's like, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about that stuff with your friends, because that's just a line you don't need to cross. And it feels like your generation, frankly, is much more aggressive about, no, I'm going to talk, I'm going to have these conversations with my friends because it's important.
Yeah, and I had this discussion with my dad the other day, because obviously in Gold Can Wingo, part of our show is there is a difference in generation between me, my dad, and Trey. And I think there's certainly some of that. Like, we're a group that generally tends to ask why a lot more. But I said the other day, there's been freedom fighters and people that have asked questions and questioned the establishment in every generation. I think what we've got now, and especially as it pertains to the world of sports and all this, is we've all had access to social media for a long time. We've been very online. Communication is something that has shrunk the world in so many ways. And so now there's a lot more immediacy to the access in these conversations. We get to have it on bigger platforms with all of this. And also, just, I mean, think about the world that we both live in now that's centered around sports, and how if you go back 20, 30 years, the leagues weren't this flush with cash. I mean, hell, when my dad came into the NFL, the minimum salary was like $75,000. it's over 500,000 now. So there's all these reasons why the platforms that people are on to talk about these issues that matter to them have grown a lot bigger outside of just the world of, you know, politics or the news or places where you might have heard about this before. So the conversation also met us halfway. But I think you're right. As a generation, we've just been given the tools to have a lot of these discussions in very public ways at a lot earlier age. So it becomes second nature after a while.
Talking to Mike Golic Jr. from Golic and Wingo on First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. And that almost takes me to the next level of it, because I feel like even the newer generations care more about things like small business and the attitude and the way food is treated when it gets to you and things like that maybe my generation didn't worry about as much 20 years ago, right? So I'm left to wonder if at some point sports teams are going to be held accountable for the attitude that they take by a newer generation of fan that cares more about what they think on these issues than maybe my generation did.
Yeah, and so it's interesting to think about it in that regard, because I think also that some of that is also an information thing, right? There's more of a demand for transparency now than ever. Jason, when you said what you just said now, immediately I thought of, well, you know what? Like, a lot of people didn't ask questions in the NFL in my dad's generation about things about maybe head injuries or things like that. But when we found out, the NFL had a bunch of that information they had covered up. And now there's so much study that goes into it, the same way there's so much study and information that's available to the public on the long-term effects of opioids. We've been given now, in a lot of instances, more information on the long-term effects of the actions and things now than maybe was ever available before. That's also one of those things about modern advancements. And so I think that's a big part of it. And so, yeah, I think for that reason you'll see. And that was an interesting part of the outcry we heard is, people like Arike Ogunbowale from the WNBA, the former Notre Dame star, who said and tweeted, high school athletes, as you're getting ready to make your college decision, take a look around right now at the landscape and figure out which of these coaches are really for you in these situations. Because I'm sure, especially for a lot of young black athletes, they're looking around and saying, we've seen this stuff happen over and over again. Unfortunately, there's a very sad but real chance it happens again. And so as this continues to come up, and as I'm going off into the world of college athletics, if we stick with that example, am I going to have someone truly living up to the things they told my parents in that living room, that they were going to look after me, that they were going to be like a second family to me? Or is it lip service, and am I seeing that on display now? And you're seeing people take stock of that in ways that could start to manifest themselves, especially at the college level where athletes are feeling more and more compelled to speak.
Real quick before we let you go, because you mentioned that, I'm trying to coin a new phrase. Instead of just two student athletes, I'm also bringing in teacher coaches, because that's essentially what they're supposed to be. So does all of this put a different level of pressure on our teacher coaches that are the highest paid people at their universities because of what they do on Saturdays to speak on behalf of the students, but also on behalf of the athletes, much like they ask students to stand up? Is there a bigger role for coaches to have to speak?
I think it makes you pick a side, right? Like, I'm glad you said that, because I always shy away from saying the term student athlete, because I think it's disingenuous, and I think it's been used to kind of perpetuate that BS amateurism stuff that college tries to sell a lot of people. And so I think it forces you to do one thing. If you're the NCAA and you're going to continue to say, man, you know what, we're really all in on this amateurism model, we think we are teachers first, these are student athletes first and foremost, then yeah, you better damn well hold up your end of the bargain a lot better than most are, because most people understand it is athletics first and academics second when you really get down to the nuts and bolts. That or pop the lid off this thing. And if you're really going to say, no, you know what, that's not their job, that's not what we're paying them to do, we're paying them to win football games, basketball games, whatever it is, then stop treating the athletes like it's supposed to be some sort of difference, because you're being inconsistent and you're making it all look like a farce. So if you want to live up more to that, that's fine. But actually do it and take it seriously, and stop just paying lip service through titles that tries to make you feel better and continue the monopoly that you have on college athletics.
Well said, my friend. Hey, thanks for the accountability. Thanks for the honesty. Thanks for the transparency and conversation. Appreciate you coming on with us.
Happy birthday, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, brother. Be sure to check out Golic and Wingo every morning, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, 6 a.m. is the start time. Hang out with Mike there. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. Coming up next, speaking of student athletes, Zion Williamson is going to have to go under oath, but he's not the one getting in trouble. Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll tell you about it next.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN News, even your smart speakers, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. In fact, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Had some great guests on the Shell Penzel Performance Line. You can go out and check it out on the podcast, the First Take, Your Take podcast. David Fisdale joined us in the first hour in what was an awesome interview. Had the opportunity and just finished talking with my buddy Mike Golub Jr. as we continue to break down everything that's going on in the world, but also sports. We're talking about all of it now. One of the big pieces of news around college basketball, of all things, or at least Zion Williamson, has to do with a lawsuit that's pending against Zion, saying that he went to Duke and should not have been eligible because of benefits he received. This is, at this point, with what we've seen, now we know Zion will have to go under oath in regards to whether or not he was paid. This is going to reflect huge in the world of college basketball, where we just always presume, for some reason, Duke runs above board. Stephen A. Smith broke down who all could be in trouble as he reacted to the Zion situation.
Zion Williamson, maybe he might not be in trouble, but we need to keep a close eye on this, because the allegation against them is that he received illegal payments before and while at Duke University by this person, Gina Ford, who is represented in this particular case by Willie Gary. Let me tell you something about him. He's one of the elite lawyers this nation has ever seen. We talk in a black community about people like Johnny Cochran, God rest his soul, you know, famous for the OJ trial and what have you. Willie Gary's got that kind of reputation. He's the real deal. I know him personally. He is the real deal. Make no mistake about it. And having him represent her case against Zion Williamson, this man is going to go after it. He's exceptional at what he does, and he's incredibly influential. So Zion Williamson, we got to keep our eyes on this situation, because the objective is to have him under oath answering questions directly as it pertains to his eligibility. You and I both know what kind of trouble you can get into if you commit perjury, if you lie under oath. And so as a result of that, for him to be compelled, that's why his case, his team was trying to deny them the right to question him, and for him to be under oath having to answer these questions. This could have incredible implications when it comes to Duke, Mike Krzyzewski, or anybody, maybe not Coach K, maybe it's other people associated with Duke's program. If you're accusing the man of taking improper and illegal benefits, and the key words here was before and while he was at Duke, now Duke may have a problem.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Stephen A., totally right. Zion's got no problem. Zion's moved on. He's on to bigger, better things. He's good. Now, the problem is going to be for Duke. And is that enough of a problem? When Duke finally is getting into these conversations about whether or not players are getting paid to go to play college basketball, is that finally the straw that breaks the camel's back and allows us all to just accept that this is what happens and figure it out a better way? I don't know. But I do know this. Duke being part of the conversation to this negativity is not something that college basketball wants to be dealing with today or any day at this point, as we continue to figure out what amateurism is really supposed to look like. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. We're going to keep breaking down the breaking news in the NBA. The playoff system looks like it's in place. Some huge guest, Woj, going to join us next. First Take, your take.